Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we want to wish everyone a very happy Veterans Day. Thank you to our servicemen and women who have served our country, continue to serve our country, and the sacrifices that you have made and continue to make. And this year, probably more so than ever, we've grown to appreciate, I think, maybe some things we've taken for granted in the past, and certainly to me, Veterans Day, a nice opportunity to remind us all that we are very grateful for our servicemen and women.
Absolutely. Thank you for your service. Amen.
Looking ahead to this matchup tomorrow between the Titans and the Colts, it's an interesting one at the quarterback position because you can make an argument as far as full-time starting quarterbacks are concerned. I'm not talking about like the random Jim Sorgi start or coming in here with, you know, Zach Mettenberger at the helm for the Titans. As far as like legitimate starting NFL quarterbacks,
Alex Taney,
like all these different crap names you want to throw out there that have been at quarterback in this game before.
Clipboard Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, big Charlie Whitehurst fan. Nice hair. Nice. For a long time, he had the greatest job in the league. Just holding that clipboard, looking great while doing it. Man, missed that guy.
Did people really call him Clipboard Jesus?
Oh, absolutely.
I like
yeah,
that
was a that was a big time nickname. Yeah.
Yeah. He had great hair.
Great hair. But as far, the point is, the as far as like starting quarterbacks in this. Oh, my God.
He's kind of ugly, though.
Never going to get away from that clip. You did that to yourself, Retro.
I did. I know. I deserve it. It's fine.
Ryan Tannehill, I think, gives the Titans an advantage at quarterback that they haven't had in a long time in this matchup. And, look, Phillip Rivers has had a great career. I think he is a Hall of Fame quarterback. But he's not, you know, height of his powers, Phillip Rivers, right now. And we talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. And the interesting thing, we had, you know, Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN on with us earlier this week to break down the matchup between the Titans and the Colts. And he had an interesting line describing the quarterbacks in this game. Here's what Mike Tannenbaum had to say. Mike, as you look ahead to this matchup on Thursday night between Indianapolis and Tennessee, obviously a huge matchup in the AFC South here at Nissan Stadium. What do you make of the matchup between the Colts and the Titans? How do you think the Titans match up against Indianapolis?
I think they have a massive advantage at quarterback. I think Phillip Rivers is another one of these quarterbacks that, you know, if you took the name off the back of the jersey, you'd be looking at a guy that's old, can't move, and can't get the ball down the field. So I think for a team that struggles rushing the passer, this is really what the doctor ordered for Tennessee. I think what they'll try to do is I think the Colts will try to run the ball. Jonathan Taylor's had some turnover problems, but I think he'll be a very productive back. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball, I think the Colts have a little bit of an underrated defense, but Tennessee should give them all they can handle because, you know, when Tennessee's rolling, they have a lot of weapons, and I think A.J. Brown is somewhat underrated.
So, Joe, you hear Mike Tannenbaum say there that the Titans have a massive advantage at the quarterback position. As you evaluate Tannehill and this version of Phillip Rivers, how wide do you think the gap is at quarterback in terms of what the advantage is heading into this game for the Titans?
Well, I would say the way Tannehill was playing the first five games of the season, pretty wide. Pretty wide. And I think it's the gap is closed, as we like to say around here.
Yes.
A little bit just because, I mean, again, I think mostly because of Taylor Lewan being out. You know, I think the Titans' offense is not quite what it was without Lewan, and I think that's affected Tannehill a little bit. And so I think it's a little closer. You know, if you gave Tannehill the protection he had at the beginning of the year, I mean, he was just carving people up, and that's not – quite the case anymore, and I don't know what it'll look like Thursday night against that defense. Very good defense. But certainly if you just compare the two quarterbacks straight up, I think Tannehill is quite a bit better than Phillip Rivers at this point.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, I'm scared of the Colts, but I trust Tannehill more than Rivers, even if they don't get to Rivers. Mistakes can be forced without getting to him. And that is, I think, a good point brought up by Nate. I don't feel great about the Titans' pass rush in this game, even if Clowney's able to go. about getting to Phillip Rivers and generating some sacks like they were able to last game. But I do think Rivers is a guy that even if you're not putting a ton of pressure on him, you can bait him into certain mistakes, which sounds crazy to say when you're talking about a guy that's been in the league as long as he's been in the league and has seen the things that he's seen. But sometimes Phillip Rivers, I think, gets a little greedy and tries to force a ball where he shouldn't. And the Titans, if and when that happens tomorrow night, they've got to be ready to pounce on that and take advantage of it.
Well, I think sometimes he – I don't even know if he gets baited into mistakes or if he just makes crazy decisions. You know, I don't know. Is it because – like when Josh Allen came here a few weeks ago, that's a guy. Obviously, the Titans felt like they could maybe still mix it up on him, confuse him a little bit, and apparently they did. I mean, Phillip Rivers, you don't think that's why he's throwing picks, right? It's just that sometimes he says, I can fit this ball in, or I know that he's doubled, but I'm throwing it up anyway. I don't know. So I don't know if that's defense is getting credit. I'm sure sometimes it is, but seems like a lot of it is self-inflicted. So that's not, you know, I think actually Kevin Byard yesterday at some point was like, well, hopefully he makes some mistakes. Of course they're going to try to.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, like they're going to try to elicit mistakes, but I think some of it with him is just play defense, cover the receivers, and hope that at some point he just throws you the ball, which he does appear to do randomly too often.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texts in and says, should be worried about Jack Doyle. I don't know what it is, but every time he plays the Titans, he has a career day. Jack Doyle injured right now, so the Titans may not have to deal with him tomorrow against the Colts.
Yeah, we got Stephen Holder coming on here in a little bit, and he and I actually did a kind of preview piece today that's up at theathletic.com, and he wrote about Doyle and that, and I'm going to find it right now because that is the latest information I had. So it doesn't look like he's going to play. And that's, yeah, obviously a guy who was here who has definitely hurt the Titans a lot in the past. Concussion protocol for him. So, yeah, that's a guy, I agree, that's a guy who he has not done a lot this year. I mean, he had 9 catches this year anyway, but in this game, this is where he gets 5 against the Titans. Yeah. So if you take him out, that's another help to the Titans against a team that just doesn't scare you offensively. They don't have a lot that scares you.
So outside of the quarterback position, are there – Is there an area or two where you look around at this matchup and the Titans have a clear advantage in your mind? Because I look at the Colts defensively, there are a lot of solid pieces there. I mean, the Titans offense, I think it's going to be a challenge for them to move the ball in this game. I'm not saying they can't do it, but I think that it's going to be an interesting challenge for Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill to figure that puzzle piece out. As you look at this matchup outside of quarterback, where do you think the Titans could have an edge?
Well, I think it's also their receivers against the Colts secondary. You know, and the Colts secondary has been good. But they also, let's not forget, they lost Malik Hooker, you know,
yep,
which is a big loss. And I think that the Titans receivers, you know, the way Corey Davis has been playing most of this year, the way A.J. Brown is playing right now, I think those guys have an edge. I do. I think that they can get stuff done against that defense, against that secondary. So it comes down to protection. I mean, if you can protect Tannehill in this game, I think he's going to be able to make plays downfield with those guys, with Jonnu Smith. This might be kind of a pass-to-run kind of game for the Titans.
And this is another game where special teams could just be vital in this game. This is not the time for a bad performance from Steven Goskowski. He's got to be on this week. And then you look at the Colts, Rodrigo Blankenship kicking right now for them, 17 of 19 on the year, 19 of 21 for extra points, in addition to being the coolest-looking place kicker in the league. Great matchup at kicking this week.
Yep.
Anytime Rodrigo Blankenship is involved, I am 100% here for it.
Wild thing on the football field. And I'm just talking about the goggles there, obviously. But, yeah, he's a nice pickup for them. So you got the rookie. He is a rookie, right?
Yeah.
He's a rookie.
And he was only at Georgia for 12 years, but somehow found a way to be a rookie this year. It's great.
Exactly. Against the cagey veteran, Goskowski. And the Titans got away with that switch, you know, at long snapper and at punter and everything, holder. It went well first game, but that's still something to watch in this game too, the operation of the special teams.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland text in, says, we have problems with the Colts. Only thing that's changed is their quarterback got better and our defense got worse. Call me a pessimist, but nope, I am not confident heading into this game. Adam in Portland has seen some ghosts in years past between the Titans and the Colts, very much in the Ryan Porth camp.
Ryan Porth is nodding his head.
I was about to say, I know a guy who agrees with Adam in Portland.
It's the defeatist attitude that the Colts have instilled over decades.
What's the opposite of the sunshine blower that you've said?
Doom and gloomer?
Yeah, the doom and gloomer.
A little bit of a doom and gloomer feeling with the Colts coming in.
Going into every Colts-Titans game ever.
To everyone ever. But we still have a case of sunshine blowers taking over the day, Joe, at our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. If you were given the Titans over-under odds of 10.5 wins for the season following the 6-2 start, would you take the over or would you take the under? So over 10.5 wins, 69% say yes, 31% say under 10.5 wins.
Keeps going up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well. It's so
more confidence rolling in.
Well, maybe everybody though they're still picking them to get swept by the Colts, but then like beat the Ravens and everybody else.
Yeah,
that could happen.
It could. Look, I think the most likely scenario is a split with the Colts. But I'll be honest, like I feel good about the Titans heading in this game. I really do. We're gonna have our pigskin pick'ems tomorrow. I'm not gonna tell you which way I'm going on that, but I feel good about the Titans. I think the skepticism, I understand it. But that's when Ryan Tannehill wasn't the quarterback. You got a gunslinger back there now, baby. Be a little confident, Porth. He's good. He's a great player.
Look, that is one of the few things that give me confidence against the Colts in this matchup is Ryan Tannehill. And the fact that he's won his only game against the Colts, and he did make some clutch plays in the second half of that game.
Look at him. He's talking himself into it. I can see it. The wheels are turning.
I mean, what's more important? There's nothing more important.
That position.
When you're comparing football teams, right?
What, the quarterback?
Right.
Right, but he's also going against a defense that is third in the league in rush yards against, third in the league in passing yards against.
That's fine, but they haven't seen anything like Derrick Henry so far. This is not the Detroit Lions coming their way.
The Motor City Kitties?
Yeah.
What have they done? Yeah, look at their schedule. Like, what have they done that's really impressive defensively?
And I'm trying to remember, like in the Minnesota game, if Dalvin Cook was hurt or not in that game, because I think he was. I'm not even sure Dalvin Cook played in that game.
That was one of the early season games, right?
Yeah.
That was like week two?
Yeah.
I think Cook was healthy.
Week two or three.
I think Cook was healthy.
He might have got hurt in that game.
I'll have to go back and look. I'll look that up during the break. But,
you know, Jets, Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost to the Jags, but Jets, Bears. Yeah.
Like, who are the Jets running the ball against? Who are the Bears running the ball against?
They did
it's
not.
It's a different test for Indy's defense, too.
I mean, right, and the Browns carved them up pretty good, you know?
I get it. Whenever the Colts have faced a really good team this year, they haven't looked all that impressive. But it's
There's
still,
always a but. There's always a but.
It's still the Colts against the Titans.
When we come back, what's the best game plan for Arthur Smith and this Titans offense to be successful tomorrow against the Colts? We'll dive into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We got the Colts taking on the Titans, Dan Orlovsky. What should we be looking out for in this one?
Well, for the Titans offense, a couple things that I think they need to start doing a little bit more of is pushing the ball downfield, especially early in the game. You watched last week, Chicago was like just sitting on things and daring this offense to push the ball downfield. So get that going a little bit more, especially guys like A.J. Brown on early downs. And then for Indy's offense, Tennessee's defense should have started to show up a little bit last week and play really good man coverage. If you go back to the Baltimore Ravens game, Frank Reich did a really good job of scheming some stuff up against man coverage. Phillip Rivers just missed it. Phillip can't have those misses, especially when guys are running away from defenders. If they're there, we got to get the ball out in front and hit those guys. Frank Reich's doing a good job of that. So that'll be really what to watch is Tannehill, can they push the ball downfield early against a good defense? Ball's got to get out. And then for Indy's offense, how often Phillip Rivers is hitting those man-beating concepts in stride.
That was Dan Orlovsky from ESPN breaking down the matchup between the Titans and the Colts. Maybe what each team can look to do offensively tomorrow heading into this game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, what do you make of what Orlovsky threw out there about maybe the Titans taking some more shots down the field early in drives, maybe on early downs to A.J. Brown?
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone who plays the Titans right now is absolutely geared up to stop Derrick Henry. And this is a team that's more equipped to do it anyway. So I feel like that's kind of an emotional thing when teams play the Titans too. You saw it with the Steelers a little bit. They got some, you know, they stuffed Henry in a couple times, and that fed them. You know, that doesn't mean the Titans want to show it. They want to give their best player the ball, and they will. But I like the idea of coming out and going at them. Yeah, shots, but even just some short passing to move the chains. Anytime you get A.J. Brown the ball in his hands at all, anywhere on the field, you feel like he could make a big play and kind of go from there and loosen them up that way.
Would you see a little bit more of Raymond in this game at the receiving position, taking some of those deeper shots that we've seen him take from time to time with Tannehill?
Yeah, Raymond had a touchdown at Cincinnati early, if Tannehill sees him, which, you know, actually I think it was TD broke that play down. You know, they were in two, they were in cover two, but the safety just came way down after the snap, and if Tannehill had just looked over there, that was a TD. Now, it was also windy. I guess it could have gotten hung up, but you haven't seen a lot of Raymond. Even last week, you didn't see a lot of Raymond with Humphreys out. Batson got out there, I think, got a catch or two, at least one,
I think.
But maybe. Yeah, I mean, he's always there, and he's the guy. You know, Brown got the TD last week, but Raymond is your guy. But the thing is, the Colts know it, too. And the Colts know him and know what he does. And so that'll be interesting, too. If it is no Humphreys, which we'd expect, there's another injury report that will come out today. There's no open practice, but there is another injury report, which they may designate Humphreys as out. If he is out, then does a Nick Westbrook Ekine come into play? A Hoosier, by the way.
Yes.
Indiana guy. He was out there a little bit last week. But I think it's going to be your main two. It's your main three if you include Janu. And can you get him going and get him out there doing some stuff in the passing game?
And as is typically the case, most weeks when the Titans are involved, maybe the most fascinating matchup is how do the Titans offense stack up against this Colts defense? And we've talked about that a ton this year, whether it's been with Chicago's defense or Pittsburgh's defense. Another really good defense coming into town tomorrow night. Here's what Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, had to say about that matchup in particular.
It's a great challenge. They're playing very well, and we'll have to be at our best at 7:20 on Thursday. They get a lot of guys that are disruptive, that play well, they tackle well, they're consistent in what they do, and then we'll have to be at our best. We'll have to be able to block them. We'll have to be able to protect Ryan, and then obviously be able to try to run football against the top-ranked run defense.
So, Joe, as you look ahead to this matchup, how willing would you be, if you're Vrabel or Arthur Smith, to maybe leave the offensive line alone a little bit more and send guys out in routes like Jonnu Smith, like Anthony Firkser, maybe some running backs out in routes to open up some more options in the passing game for Ryan Tannehill? We talked about that earlier this week about how, I mean, Floyd Reese brought up at times you got two guys running routes out there, and there's not a whole lot of places for Tannehill to go with the ball then. How much more open would you be this week if you're Arthur Smith to opening up that playbook a little bit more and using Jonnu Smith across the middle?
Yeah, you got to be unpredictable. You have to try it some, and they will, but you got to be unpredictable. Obviously, Buckner is the huge addition for them, and a lot of talk. Vrabel was asked about this, like, what does Buckner being in the lineup mean to Darius Leonard? Darius Leonard didn't have as good a year in 2019, and he's having a better year, and certainly you figure that means a lot. But their pass rushers on the outside, you know, Justin Houston, you got Denico Autry, you got some guys who can get after the passer. You're going to have to give extra help, I think, at times to protect Tannehill. Saffold, if he's not just playing but also is healthy, I think that makes you feel better about doing some of that stuff. I think you just have to be unpredictable. And if you have to move the pocket sometimes, do some boots off some play action to Henry, things like that, I think they'll do a lot of that. It's got to be a creative game plan, I think, when you play a defense like this. You can't just straight up run at them and try to go play. I think you have to try some different things, show them some different things, and I'm sure Arthur Smith will have some surprises up his sleeve.
I'm sure he will too. And as far as the carries are concerned with the running backs, I'm interested to see how that's divvied up tomorrow, because there were some stretches in the game against Chicago, and some of that had to do with how long Chicago had the ball in the second half, and some of that I think may have been by design by the Titans. But Derrick Henry went a long time sometimes without getting the ball. You saw Foreman get some carries, McNichols get some carries. Do you think tomorrow sets up, if the game is close, as we anticipate it will be, that it could be a heavy, heavy workload night for Derrick Henry?
Well, if it's a heavy workload night, that's a great sign for the Titans. You know, if he gets well into the 20s in carries, that means it's going well. That means you're a good chance you're probably winning, and it means that he's producing. You know, what you don't want is for the Colts to make you abandon that, either by game situation or just because it's not working. So that would be great for the Titans. I think when it comes down to it, he'll get a larger percentage tomorrow, right? I mean, I looked at Sunday at least in part as huge game, game of the year coming up in 4 days. It's the Bears right now, and Foreman can go out there and take a few carries. McNichols can go out there and take a couple of carries. So why not? I think this is a game where it's like, your best player is your best player. Use them. I think they will. But again, if the carry number to me is going to be probably indicative of how the game is going for the Titans.
Yeah, I think so too. And we saw it last year, like Derrick Henry in the second game against the Colts took over as that game went on. I think the Colts defense this year more equipped to handle a guy like Derrick Henry. So you're going to have to make some plays in the passing game. But this is also, you know, a situation where if you're the Titans, you utilize that play action. I mean, that's when Ryan Tannehill is really good. And maybe to Orlovsky's point, as we played the clip to open up this segment, you can take some shots with play action as well. It doesn't have to be, you know, play action. Here's a 14-yard route over the middle to Corey Davis. Hey, play action. Here's a 35-yard go route to A.J. Brown. And see if he can come down with the ball. I mean, he's been really good at winning those one-on-one matchups so far this year. I would test that with the Colts tomorrow if I'm Arthur Smith.
Yeah. Well, another big – everybody talks about Buckner. You know, another big deal for the Colts is getting Xavier Rhodes at corner.
Oh, yeah.
Really good player for the Vikings. I think the Vikings miss him, and he's been good. And, you know, that's where they are better there too. And so I would assume – I asked Stephen Holder about this, but Xavier Rhodes probably matches up at least a decent amount of the night with A.J. Brown. It's another, just like in any of these matchups, you know, usually there's a weaker side and you expect Corey Davis to have like better matchups.
Yeah.
And this, the seesaw nature of Corey Davis' season tells us he's about to have a big game tomorrow night.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asked, how would your analysis / opinions change if Mariota was the quarterback tomorrow? Would there be zero chance for the Titans? Zero.
It seems so long ago.
The chasm is very wide in terms of the difference heading into this game, which is why I feel really good about this game if I'm the Titans. I really do. I know there's a lot of pessimism, a lot of nervous energy floating around from Titans fans because it's the Colts, but I feel great about it. I really do. So does Josh on our text line too, by the way.
Okay.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans win 24-21 with a game-winning field goal. Josh already calling a shot in this game.
That would be four for Gostkowski. Yeah, look. Let's put Mariota into this exact team. They're not 6-2 right now.
No.
Now I don't think they're 1-7 like you think they would be.
I didn't say that.
But yeah, much better chance with Tannehill than Mariota. We can all agree on that, right?
Let's go 3-5.
3-5?
Is that fair?
A 3-game difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that fair?
You might be right with that defense.
Yeah.
Might be right.
Probably not scoring 42 a pop against Buffalo and all these different teams. When we come back, Stephen Holder from The Athletic will join us. He's the beat writer from the Indianapolis Colts. We'll break down this matchup with him from the Colts' perspective. That coming up next. But first, you know, Robbie Stanley here to tell you, you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, man, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, right now, it absolutely is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal here in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want, and if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. So if you're like me and you're feeling very confident in the Titans tomorrow, right now, -1.5 point favorites against the Colts heading into this game. Take your shot. What do you got to lose? It's a risk-free bet. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And I got to tell you, from a personal experience, it's been a good couple of weeks for me on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. They get you your money very quickly, very fast withdrawals when you win. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB. That's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead at the big matchup tomorrow between the Titans and the Colts in the AFC South. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Stephen Holder from The Athletic, who covers the Colts. Stephen, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem. Looking forward to the game.
So, Stephen, what do you make of this matchup between the Colts and the Titans? Obviously a huge game tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. Titans fans very fired up about it. What do you make of this matchup between the Titans and the Colts?
I think it's going to be kind of what we expected. You know, we thought these two teams were the leader in the clubhouse even before the season, you know, in terms of having the inside track at winning this division. So I think this game is living up to, at least, you know, before kickoff right now, the scenario is living up to what we expected, which is a game with a lot on the line. And I think the fact that they're playing twice in such close proximity, I think that ratchets it up a little bit too, because you know you're going to see them again in a couple of weeks. So there's going to be a lot of lingering emotions and feelings from this game and that second game. So there's a lot at stake here. I think these two teams have gone about improving themselves in various ways. The Colts obviously have had some losses in terms of injuries, but these two teams have improved themselves in various ways, and I think this is a way to measure how much better they are, and we'll find out.
So we've talked some today, Stephen, about sort of the Titans fan, I guess, lingering dread that accompanies a Colts-Titans game because of, you know, how much success the Colts have obviously had over the years. Is it the opposite for Colts fans? Is it like this just sort of confidence that, you know, they're probably going to find a way no matter how things look? Like, is it, and is there, do you sense any sort of rivalry from Colts fans, you know, toward the Titans?
It's interesting. Good question. I imagine there is like real PTSD there, right? On the Colts, right, on the Titans side, I imagine.
Yeah.
But things have changed, right? I mean, Andrew Luck was really the driving force behind a lot of that. There's no question about it. Even though, if I'm not mistaken, I think Matt Hasselbeck might have beaten them too. But in any event, yeah, you're right. And what I would say is this. I think the Colts fans do have a healthy respect for Tennessee. Do they see them, though, in the same light as the Chiefs and Ravens and Steelers? No, they don't. Now, whether they should is a different question. But I think that history you speak of, I think it kind of prevents people from really embracing the Titans in that way. They understand they were in the AFC Championship game. They know. But I still think people have to get their heads around that a little more, you know, that maybe this is a different Titans team. But they also know this is a different Colts team. So they understand what they're working with there as well. So it'll be interesting. I think this game will help shape those perceptions a little more, you know, because I think they're still fluid. And I thought last year was weird, right? Because the Colts went down there in week two and faced Mariota and kind of had their way and walked out of there with a relatively easy win. Then the second meeting later in the season, Tennessee handled its business and I think came up with some huge plays in that game. And that was not something that Colts fans were used to against Tennessee. So at the same time, the Colts were kind of fading at that point. So I don't know that people put a lot of stock in it. So I think this is an important game in terms of how Colts fans see this rivalry and this matchup going forward.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stephen, what have you seen so far out of Phillip Rivers? How would you grade his performance with the Colts thus far halfway through the season?
Well, it's funny you ask because today on The Athletic, I did exactly that. We did a midseason report. I did grades on each player, and I struggled with Phillip Rivers. I wanted to go with, you know, a C, but at the same time, he's been a frustrating player because you see really good performances, and then you see a performance like last Sunday where he was inaccurate and didn't connect on the deep balls they took in terms of the shots they took downfield. And it just didn't feel like really put them in position to win, honestly. And so there have been a lot of games like that. And honestly, I think what it boils down to is when he has played defenses that are not elite, he plays top-level football. When he plays defenses that are elite or very good defenses, he has struggled. And I think we're continuing to see that. That's what we saw with Baltimore. So I ended up, to wrap it all up, I ended up with a B-minus because I think that's kind of what he is. He's a guy who's capable of really lifting his team and putting up big numbers on the board, and he's also a guy who can throw you two or three interceptions and make some decisions that are just mystifying and lead to a loss. So that's what they're dealing with. I think that's just their reality. That's what you get with Phillip Rivers.
Well, Stephen, of course, you and I also sort of did a preview piece on this game with the interesting idea of, you know, all these years it was the Colts who had the stars, the skill stars. The Titans were that, you know, more of the, I guess, grinding kind of team, defense, run the ball. It's a little bit of a role reversal now. I think we would all agree that the Colts on both lines are stronger. But the thing I can't figure out, Stephen, is the rushing attack. And I know Marlon Mack is a big part of that and a big loss. Is it as simple as that? I just would have expected with that offensive line this team to be better at running the ball.
Yeah, I think it is the biggest question with this team. I mean, look at their situation on third downs, for example. They're a very average third down team. They used to be an elite third down team because they could run the ball on third and three and easily pick up that third down. And they had proven that they could do that. So their play selection on third downs has just been unbelievable. And that goes back to running the ball effectively. They're not doing that now. And it has really given people a lot of pause here, and including myself, people who are around the team. I think one of the things we've tried to sort of figure out is this really just a matter of Marlon Mack being better than we thought? I think that is a huge part of it. Marlon Mack is clearly an underappreciated player. And it's easy to say that running backs are plug and play when you've got this elite offensive line. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, the running back has to do his job. And I think Marlon Mack's vision was a big reason for his success. And so here comes Jonathan Taylor, who is eminently talented. This kid is really talented. If you've watched Big Ten football, you know that. You saw him at Wisconsin. The problem is he doesn't have the instincts right now. He doesn't have the vision, and it's just been really tough for him. So they've had to try to get him on the outside and on the perimeter, and that's just harder in this league. You're not going to get to the edge in this league routinely. It's just really, really hard. I don't care how fast you are. So the problem is they don't have an offensive identity because of that, because they were a run-first football team. Doesn't mean you run the ball 35 times. It just means that's your bread and butter, and you play off of that. But now they don't have an offensive identity. They have a lot of average wide receivers, and they're just really in kind of a morass on offense right now, and I think that's their biggest problem.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Stephen, flipping to the other side, how intrigued are you to see the matchup between the Colts defense and that front taking on Derrick Henry and the Titans running game?
I'm really, really excited to watch that, actually, because this defense has surpassed my expectations, like wildly surpassed them. And I will say this, I think the best part of this defense is the front seven. There's no question about it. And that is led by DeForest Buckner, who has been, I think, one of the biggest game changers in the league this year in terms of offseason additions. This guy has transformed the defense. Now, you know Darius Leonard, and you've seen him work, and Darius had made a seismic change to this defense a couple of years ago, but I still think they were missing that force in the middle of the defense. And, you know, that off-the-ball linebacker can only have so much impact, you know, and I think that is what they were missing. They have it now in DeForest Buckner, and I'm just telling you, he has raised everybody's game on that defense. He is I think we saw it last week against Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar Jackson eventually, you know, started to make some plays in that game in the second half. But, look, that was the number one rushing team in the NFL they just faced. And if I'm not mistaken, the Ravens were under 4 yards per carry on Sunday. I mean, had a really tough time, 266 total yards. Now, they won the game, but it was rough. It was tough sledding for them offensively. And a lot of that had to do with up front really not getting much of a push against the Colts' defensive line. So it's going to be a really intriguing matchup. Also, keep an eye on Grover Stewart, their nose tackle, who I think has really raised his game this year. He's in a contract year as well, and DeForest Buckner has been great for him. So I really think that's where the game's going to be won and lost, honestly.
And how about Xavier Rhodes, another pickup who I think has been really important? How good has he been? How has that secondary adjusted to the loss of Malik Hooker?
I would tell you, Xavier Rhodes has been, I think, the second biggest addition to this defense. And I got to tell you, I really questioned that move when they made it. I thought, you know, they got rid of a couple of defensive backs from last season's team, moved some guys from that coming back from 2019. And then the solution was to go sign Xavier Rhodes. And I just scratched my head like, you got to be kidding me. This guy is coming off the worst season of his career, literally the worst season of his career. Their projection was off the charts. It was fantastic. And I am eating my words every single day. Now, what he's done is he's been a great fit because, number one, you have to be a great tackling corner to play in this defense. He does that. And the other thing is they've taken so much they take so much responsibility off of you when you play in this system because it's pretty streamlined. There's not a lot going on. And so you're able to have athletes just be athletes, and that's what's happening. You'll also get an introduction to Julian Blackman, who is their rookie free safety, who took over for Malik Hooker. This kid has been a revelation. He's a really, really athletic player with a really bright future, and they're thrilled to have him. Third-round pick from Utah. Really, really good player. Off to a great start.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic has been our guest, covers the Colts for The Athletic. Great stuff, Stephen. Appreciate you taking time to join us and looking forward to this matchup tomorrow between the Titans and the Colts.
All right, guys. Can't wait. See you.
Absolutely. Really good information there by Stephen Holder, and I don't think a huge surprise that DeForest Buckner has come in and made the impact that he has. Very, very good player.
Yeah, no, big time. And Darius Leonard looks like 2018 Darius Leonard again.
Yeah. When we come back, it's that time of the week. The award-winning The Choice Is Yours segment coming up next. Looking forward to that. But first, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown tomorrow. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Colts at Nissan Stadium. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We'll be right back with The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate how we would respond to said scenarios. And the responsibility falls back squarely on the shoulders of me, Robbie Stanley, this week, to come up with questions. I feel okay about it. All right, whatever. We'll see.
I got high expectations.
Okay, that's fine. I'm cool with your high expectations. Fellas, where do we want to start? Sports or non-sports?
How about sports?
All right, I think we'll start with sports. So we brought up a lot of pain on the show today, talking about Titans and Colts. Years gone by, maybe even a Titans-Ravens result back in 2000 that caused a lot of pain for the Titans fan base. If you could go back and change one result in the Titans franchise history of the past, what would it be? And I am excluding the Super Bowl game because that is the obvious answer. So you cannot choose changing the Rams-Titans Super Bowl. Outside of that, whether it's a result, whether it's a decision made, whatever the case may be,
If you could pick one thing to go back and change with the Titans, what would it be? Porth, would you like to start?
One game for me would be the 2000 Ravens game, divisional weekend. And the one play that would like to have back is the Ray Lewis interception on Eddie George.
Yeah.
Well, it was off Steve McNair. But
Eddie George took
it. Was a pass to Eddie George that then fell in the hands of Ray Lewis. And the Ravens won that game with like 80
yards passing.
I can see
the pain in your face while you're talking about it.
Oh, 11-year-old Ryan was so mad.
Trent Dilfer, I think a lot of people would probably choose that game. I'm going to go kind of a different route here. And it's not a game, it's a decision. And it's easy to look back now in retrospect and wonder what could have been. But that's what we do here on Sports Talk Radio. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going back to the 1998 NFL Draft. Kevin Dyson taken in the first round in the 1998 NFL Draft. I love Kevin Dyson. Great player. Big part of, obviously, one of the most memorable plays in the history of the National Football League in the Music City Miracle. But then you kind of scan down the list, and you look five picks after that, and you see one Randy Moss being selected by the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going back, and I'm putting Randy Moss in his prime on the Titans. Can you imagine what an offense with Steve McNair, Eddie George, Frank Wycheck, and Randy Moss could have looked like in the late 90s and early 2000s?
And Derek Mason.
And Derek Mason. I mean, you're talking about, I think, at least one Super Bowl ring, maybe two, with the Titans. That's what I'm going back and changing.
That's a good one. And game-wise, again, we talked about it earlier. I mean, if you change that game against the Ravens, 2000, there's a ring. There's a Lombardi trophy in that building right now because they would have bombed the Giants. But I'm going to go with a similar answer to Robbie's.
Ooh.
Different draft. And actually, I just Googled this because I wrote this last November. So I'm ripping myself off right now. But I'm telling you, man. And you know, the person who... I think the person who gave me this first idea was Mike Keith, but 2005 draft. What if they take Aaron Rodgers instead of Pac-Man Jones?
Oh, man.
At that point, it was, you know, it was a year early in terms of the McNair timetable, but you could have still made the case to do it.
Mm.
And what would that have meant to this franchise?
Ooh.
To have Aaron Rodgers all this time as your quarterback.
That is a good one.
Franchise quarterback.
Not as many people bring that one up, Joe, as they do
Randy Moss,
with
yeah.
Robbie.
Yeah.
Because
that's a great one.
People will still call into the afternoon show and ask Floyd why he took Kevin Dyson over Randy Moss. And every time Floyd says, look, you know, Randy Moss, great player, he had a lot of baggage that a lot of GMs were afraid of. And Kevin Dyson was a quality player before injuries hit and really derailed his career.
Got a text from my father that said the thing he would change in Titans history is letting Jeff Fisher back on the bus after the Titans got boat raced in the snow against the Patriots 59-0. Or whatever that game was.
All right. That was in Foxborough.
It was in Foxborough.
I got some Floyd quotes in that, too, by the way. The plan didn't include a QB, but also about all the vetting of Pac-Man. That's another whole thing about that draft. Very talented player, though.
Let's go to our text
Pac-Man
line,
Jones.
Driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Ben texts in and says, change the result of the Chiefs-Titans game where Mariota caught his own pass. We could have moved on from him way sooner if we lost that game.
Is that true, though?
Probably not.
I don't think it's true.
Also could have moved on from Mike Mularkey a week early.
Yeah, could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, switching gears to non-sports. Would you rather always be 1 hour early or always be 10 minutes late? You can choose. It has to be one or the other. You can always be 1 hour early to wherever you're going or always be 10 minutes late. Which way are you going with that, Joe Rexrow?
It's an easy one, and I hope my children are listening. Actually, no, they should be at school. Yeah, an hour early, always. Always, always, always. Punctuality. Not something that was a great strength of mine as a young person. Very, very, I think it's gotten more important to me, and we should all be wanting
to be
punctual.
An hour is extreme.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? You can diddle on your phone or whatever.
It's an underappreciated trait by people who are late.
Yeah.
They don't understand what it means to actually be on time or early. So I would have to go 1 hour early.
I am 1 hour early to like everything. I mean, it's my wife really gets mad at me because I'll show up to things and she'll be like, oh, cool, when does this start? I'm like, oh, you know, 6:30. Why are we here at 5:45? Well, you know, don't want to be late. So I hate being late.
So I thought your answer was then going to be, so I'd really rather be the other way.
No, I'm, no, okay. I'm totally
You're
cool
happy
being
with
early.
This.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Being
very
late
punctual, then.
Stresses me out. Like, it really stresses. There's not really hardly anything in life that stresses me out all that much. I hate being late.
Well,
I feel like I'm rushed.
And
can't stand it.
I hate it when I'm relying on somebody to be somewhere at a certain time, and I'm there on time, and that person isn't there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be that person. Don't be that guy who shows up 10 minutes late when the person you're meeting at for lunch or whatever, or a meeting, is actually there on time.
It's quite disrespectful.
Yes.
It means you don't value their time,
yes,
which irritates the fire out of me. It's a life lesson. I feel like we should all continue to learn.
Don't be that guy. That's a good way to put it.
Let's go back to sports, and this is a difficult one because it's a choice filled with ineptitude based on the results we've seen. You've got a team that's got good talent, decent talent. They're in college football, and the talent is the same. It's not like you're bringing somebody on to build a program. You just need them to coach one game, maybe even one season with this team. Who are you hiring? Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt. You can pick between those three guys. The talent is all equal. You're not building a program. You're just coaching one season.
Program.
Who are you? Well, you know, one. Yeah, program. Who are you going? Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Dooley. Porth, we'll start with you.
I mean, it's got to be Jeremy Pruitt.
You can run it every snap or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
I mean, yes, with that kind of expertise, I have to go with Jeremy Pruitt.
Yes, I mean, he really laid it out there for us. Joe.
So, okay, so it's you're coaching one season.
One season.
You just have to do as well as you possibly can. Everybody
that is correct.
Has the same conditions.
Different strengths here for these coaches, but yes.
Yeah, I have to go Pruitt too. I actually did think about Butch. I thought about Butch.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I think Butch kind of wore himself out in different ways. In-game coaching was not great. Don't get me wrong. That wasn't the worst part of Butch. And it hasn't been very good for Pruitt at all. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a process of elimination. I'll go Pruitt.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
Yeah. This is a very difficult place to be for me because my easy answer is I would like to launch myself into the sun when presented with these three options. I don't really like it. I've gone back and forth. I'm trying to weigh different – you know, options here. Like, I feel like the football part of it, based on what I've seen, relatively is going to be pretty similar to each other. Like, there's not going to be a dramatic difference. So I'm really going on entertainment value, and it's three different forms of entertainment value. You've got Butch Jones and his, like, porcupine-styled hair that he had out there building mailboxes. You've got Derek Dooley making comparisons to Rommel and talking about shower etiquette. And then we have our good friend Jeremy Pruitt yesterday laying out how to have successful offensive football, which was just really enlightening for all of us to hear. I mean,
offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
Yes. Scoring points. So I think you're kind of screwed no matter which way you go. But I really value Derek Dooley and his entertainment. When he coached that game after he had surgery or whatever it was on the stool and he had the crutches, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Give me Derek Dooley. I want to at least be entertained in my misery.
So basically you're saying the season's going to suck either way.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I see where you're going.
Your season is going to be in trouble. It's not going to be a huge difference anyway. So give me Dooley.
So no faith in Butch. Any three of us.
No.
It's not enough time to get those bricks built into a wall of greatness.
If it was like a mailbox building competition, maybe. I might choose him there, but I don't really believe.
A construction project with building houses?
Yeah, maybe he's in the competition there. All right, last thing, non-sports here. Would you rather never remember someone's face or never remember someone's name? So you can show up, you can look around, you could have seen this person 100 times and have no clue who they are, recognizing them, or you could, you know, do a show with me every day, Joe, and not remember my name. Which way are you going?
Well, I am a terrible name person. Terrible name person.
And
it's to the point where, I mean, my wife makes fun of me. It's like, dude, we've talked about this 12 times. Who is that? What's the name again? What are those, that couple? What are they? So I already know that, basically. I think it would be terrifying to not recognize someone's face, so I'll stick with my weakness and go name.
Borley, which way are you going with this competition? Oh.
I have to agree with Joe. Oh, man. Joe, are you ever at, like, a party and there's a couple, like, over at the other table, and you're like, oh, hey. And then after, like, a brief 90-second conversation, you pull Katie aside, and you're like, all right, so what's their name again?
Oh, it's all the time. I mean, it's we got to come up with a better system because it's obvious. Hey, good to see you again. You looking good. You? Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome to, like, not be able to remember somebody's face? So, like, you see, like, coming in, seeing Porth every day, looking up like, who in the world is in the other room in here?
Have to be startled every time before. I see Jared, like, ah!
That's why I'm going face.
Okay.
I would love to know everybody's name. Like the first time I meet you, I've got your name locked down. That's a skill I don't have. I would love to have that. I could live with not being able to recognize anybody, I guess.
Be mesmerized every time Big Joe pops into your grill.
Just, you know, fresh all beauty over again. Every time. Absolutely. It would be awesome.
It'd be an interesting life.
I don't even know what it's like to not know somebody's face. Like,
I don't know.
Although now it's kind of like that, though, right?
It is. Like, just think about somebody you went to high school with, you haven't seen in 10 years, and you see them now. You're like, okay, I don't remember you at all.
You're about 100 pounds like, heavier with a beard.
But they say their name, and they're like, okay, I remember the name, but I could not tell you.
All right, I'd much rather go with name than face.
All right.
What a random question.
I like it, though.
They're coming up with random crap, man.
I know. That's what this segment is
about. I have
about.
A ton of useless knowledge based in my head somewhere. I don't know.
I like it.
I really just wanted to take a shot at Dooley, Pruitt, and Jones. So that's really what this whole segment was about.
All in one shot.
I really just wanted to do it. So that's what today's edition
knock
of
out
the
three birds with one stone.
Yeah, might as well.
I was good. I was hoping that maybe we could continue to have Stillman and Chase McCabe in various movie genres, but maybe I'll bring that back.
Yeah, you'll have the responsibility again next week. So the floor is now all yours, Joe Rectro. That's going to do it for us today on The Choice Is Yours, another fine edition of this segment. When we come back, we will dive back into the Titans and the Colts. Some good news yesterday on the injury front regarding two key players in this game tomorrow. We'll discuss what that is next. This is Robbie and Rextro live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.